Mike Tomlin set to address the media at noon. You're going to hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Nick Faribault will join the show in just about 20 minutes as we get ready for Steelers and Dolphins. Miami, a team that almost fired its coach and did fire its general manager early on this season and decided to ride it out with Mike McDaniel for the rest of the year. The Dolphins have been somewhat rewarded by that, and they will battle it out against the Steelers on Monday Night Football, where the vibes should be a little bit better than what they might have been if the Steelers had lost to Baltimore. Joe, what do you expect Mike Tomlin to say today? It should be a much more different type of feeling press conference compared to last week, where tensions were very sky high.
I didn't feel like tensions were that high.
No?
Last week. I thought it was a very tampered down situation where we've seen at times Tomlin gets very combative in news conferences. Sometimes. Not a lot. Maybe combative is the wrong word. Maybe irritated is a better word.
Yeah. Especially earlier this year when he said, man, you guys really annoyed me today.
Yeah, like that. And I like that, by the way, that version of Tomlin. Last week, I thought it was just very, let's sort of get through this and that'll be that. I'm curious to see about today. I thought he made some good moves last week that helped them win a football game. And now they have, I think, an unexpectedly are we on the air, by the way?
We
did
are.
Did you do your update? I was talking to the big boss. You saw that down there, right?
I did, yes. I was with you.
You even came in for a minute.
Yes.
You and I had some pre-show tension limits that I'd like to address.
Mm.
I went into where you record back there.
Correct.
And you were very unreceptive to me 10 minutes before the show.
Well, you immediately walked in, stood behind me, started singing a song, and started rubbing my shoulders, and I felt uncomfortable. Let's not leave that out of the equation here.
You were working on something not related to the show.
Correct, because I had everything done related to the show already.
Oh.
I made sure that I had everything processed.
But it was 10 minutes before the show.
Right. I wanted to make sure that I prepare ahead of time. We know how important preparation is in our business.
Okay. All right. What exactly did you prepare for the show?
Well, if there was any extra audio that we needed, updating the reads for you, because whenever you have a message for the people, we want to make sure that it's correct and at the correct time, and monitoring social media for any news that might drop, like the Ken Rosenthal $120 million offer to Kyle Schwarber that was
reported. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. The $120
million
offer.
$120 million offer.
412-928-9370. The Steelers, if you want to talk about that. Is anybody on the line to talk about that?
We have a couple of people, yes.
Why don't we?
Let's start with Melvin. Melvin is in the car.
May I call you Mel?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, yeah,
what do you got?
As far as the Steelers winning the playoff game, I think I would like to say, hold up, let's see how they do against Miami, because this is the type of game they usually lose, a team that they would beat. So,
no, I agree with that, but we don't have the luxury of waiting until then. We're on the air right now. So what's your feel?
Yeah. The feel is I'm not sure. I'm just not sure yet. I don't think they'll win the playoff game yet, especially those teams that you listed. Like, we always have trouble in history. When we play Jacksonville, even when we should beat them, I mean, look at the Blake Bortles game. We lose to Jacksonville. So it's like, I don't feel comfortable playing any of those games. We don't play good against Houston most of the time. And so I don't have confidence. I need to see.
I'm with you.
Win a couple more games.
I'm actually with you, Melvin. I am on that. I just have more of a feeling, I guess, than I've had really at any point since the Colts game, that this could actually happen, that they could break their near decade-long playoff win drought. I appreciate the call, man. I guess it's a potpourri, a limitless wonder.
What is the true definition of potpourri?
Many different things in one spot, almost like a smorgasbord.
So what is the – isn't there also potpourri that's like out as decoration that you have, like a bunch of fruits?
I don't know.
That you can have in like your dining room table?
Yeah, maybe I have the definition completely wrong. Do I?
I don't even know how to spell potpourri.
P-O-T-P-U-R-R-I, I think.
P-O-T.
Potpourri. Yeah, I think. Is anybody else on the line?
Oh, it's spelled like potpourri, except you just don't say the T.
Right.
Here is Neil in Coriopolis.
God limits.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Austin.
What's up?
I don't have any I think we keep getting sucked back into this. And, you know, they were just talking about we haven't won back-to-back games. And, like, our last three-game winning streak was against five turnovers for the Patriots, against Carson Wentz, and then against Dylan Gabriel, who won't be an NFL quarterback probably next year or the year after.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
We get sucked back in as Steeler fans. You know, like, we have all these AFC championships in the 90s and 2000s, and then now we're just stuck in this. Maybe we could, you know.
I know. Believe me, I know. But,
I know.
But here's the thing. It's a different year in the AFC, and everybody's got problems. Like,
yeah.
Are you in a wind tunnel, sir?
No, I'm outside. I'm standing outside of work at Doughboys Pizza in McKees Rocks just talking to you.
Nice. Thank you for making the call.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in Baltimore right now, they're up in arms. Buffalo, I've been there back and forth several different times since September, and they don't know what they have there at all. They've got problems on defense, to be sure.
Yeah.
Houston doesn't have an offense. The Chargers are banged up beyond belief, although I think that's a pretty good football team. Jacksonville,
yeah.
Would you fear a game against Jacksonville? I wouldn't. Denver seems to have a pretty good all-around team, but certainly not a great one. And then there's
Jacoby Myers, though. I would love to have him.
Yeah,
he's really opened up that offense for the Jaguars.
Me too. Me too. And you don't have to worry about
putting him in, and I do like Thielen because I feel like that was like it opened up DK. And if they could just scheme back-to-back games, you know, wisely, it's like I just hope they don't come into this game with a bad plan because that seems to be what has happened is like we're going to run the ball.
Yeah, Miami's playing well. I appreciate the call, man. Miami's playing pretty well, too. That's the thing, is that suddenly, from out of nowhere, the Dolphins seem like a formidable foe. Limits, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that they've, you know, beaten a murderer's row here, although they did earlier this season. They hammered Buffalo. That was just about a month ago that they ripped the Bills, and then they beat, you know, the Commanders, the Saints, and the Jets, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, they're on
how seriously
streak,
are we taking that? No,
not really.
To their credit, I thought that the wheels had completely come off the Mike McDaniel machine.
Oh, I did too. We both thought he was going to be fired.
Right. I mean, you remember earlier this season, and the one thing about McDaniel is he's very succinct and clear when asked about things.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he was as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
We're trying to make sure that his quarterback does not throw 10 picks.
Yeah, he's going to take the snaps this week, and he's going to be our starter this week. And my expectation is that we don't throw 10 picks.
Tremendous stuff. Now, they had a very competitive game against New England earlier this year, and they outplayed Buffalo in Buffalo. Well, they wound up losing by 10, but if you remember that game on a Thursday night, very competitive. They had a two-point game against the Chargers. This is not a bad football team, and I thought it would be. I thought it would be a horrendous team, and it's really not. But here's the thing. Can you look up A-Chain? Is he playing? He's a star, and he can score every time he touches the ball. And he's the type of guy who on the wrong day with the wrong scheme for a day or simply bad execution could light up the Steelers for 200 yards. What's his status?
Yeah, he has a rib injury. There was no fracture, and he is expected to play in the upcoming game. So
that makes it a lot more interesting. I'll tell you that. It really does, because he's a star. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Partly cloudy today with a high of Andy Russell, 34, a low of Scotty Miller. Whatever happened to big play Scotty?
He played.
I know. But whatever happened to him? A low of 13. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Before we get to another call, you mentioned Phil Rivers, and I have a trivia question for you. Is there news on him? Is that going to happen?
So he's worked out for the Colts. He hasn't played since, what, like 2020? I heard that Philip Rivers is also a grandfather now.
Well, that was my trivia. What, are they going to bring back LaDainian Tomlinson too? I mean, what are they doing? So he's a grandfather.
Yes.
I looked this up today, believe it or not, because somebody asked me in my Post-Gazette mailbag, Would he be the first grandfather to ever play in the NFL?
And that's a great question.
According to Yahoo, there was one other. I thought it might be George Blanda because he was older than Ron Cook when he still played. But the other one was who limits? Wrong.
Would it have been Warren Moon?
Great guess, but no.
I'm trying to think of players that went until like 45.
Yeah, you'd think a kicker maybe, right? Yeah. Like a Jan Stenerud may have been Grandpa Jan. I don't know.
Y.A. Tittle?
Granny Yanny? I don't know. Y.A. Tittle's a great guess, but not to my knowledge.
Johnny Unitas?
Great guess, but no. Brett Favre.
Really?
Was a grandfather, at least according to Yahoo.
Did not know that.
In his last year or two. Grandpa Brett. I go by Grandpa Joe. Seems cumbersome. How should I shorten that with my granddaughter Mallory?
You don't like Papa or Pap or Pa?
Well, some of those names might already be taken in the family. Do I just go by Joe?
No. You have to go by
Papa Joe?
You have to go by Papa something.
It can't be two things at once.
Like my mom's dad to us is Papa or Papa Bob.
Yeah, but what if there's another grandfather in the picture that's already Papa? It can't be two Papas.
My dad's dad to us was Pap.
Yeah.
So you could be Pap and Papa.
I could be Peepaw, Meepaw.
You could be Mimi.
Me? No.
I don't think you do.
No, we had a Mimi earlier. That's for the grandmother.
That's the grandmother, yeah.
So what are we looking at here? I think Grandpa Joe is a good name.
Grandpa Joe can work.
It's from Tom Sawyer, I think, isn't it? Or something. But no, it can't work because the kid can't talk yet. How's she going to say Grandpa Joe?
Then just say Papa or Papa Joe.
Then she's going to get confused if there's another Papa.
Is there another Papa?
I don't know. I'm not around all the grandfathers. There might be and there might not be.
You can't ask the parents?
I might have to. Yes.
I feel like that's a very easy question to ask there, Joe. There's a solution there.
Sometimes things get complicated, Limits.
That's true.
Next phone.
Here is Ron. Ron is in Indiana.
Hey, Ron.
Well, you guys are cracking me up. What's
happening?
On? Hey, so two things. Phillip Rivers doesn't cuss. He probably doesn't drink. Got 10 kids. Coaches high school football. I'd love to see him and Ben Roethlisberger do like 40-yard dash right now.
Wait a second. Is it a fact that he has 10 kids?
Yes.
I believe so.
So he could basically quarterback his own offense then, right?
Could you imagine Phillip Rivers in like 20 years? He's coaching his team. Like he just decides the 34th team in the NFL, an expansion team, welcome to Portland, Oregon, and it'll be coached by Phillip Rivers with the entire Rivers family playing on offense.
Like the Von Trapps and the Sound of Music. What if they just lined up and they knew like the West Coast offense by heart and just started running these intricate pass patterns?
And you can hear 95-year-old Chris Collinsworth, oh, I tell you what, Al, they've been running these plays since they were in the backyard at 5 years old. I tell you what, that Patrick Mahomes.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, and the grandkids on the sideline saying, Papa Phil. So, regarding the playoffs, if Tomlin lets Rodgers do what he did last week and takes the handcuffs off and Rodgers stays healthy, we can win playoffs because anybody can win or lose any given day, but it's up to Tomlin. Let them play. Rodgers has to stay healthy. We could win the conference.
You know what? I don't think that would be like the miracle on ice because of the shape the conference is in. If the Steelers played the Jags this weekend, would you be surprised if either team won? I wouldn't. Would you, Limits? No. I'll answer for you.
A little bit, yeah.
If the Steelers beat the Jags, you'd be surprised?
They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. I'd be a little bit surprised if they just
win like
a playoff game at
this point.
It's
not like the Jags are the 85 Bears. They don't have a dynasty going.
I know that, but the last time, when this streak ultimately...
Who would be favored if the Jags came here next week for a playoff game? Who's favored?
I think the Steelers by about a point.
So how could you be surprised if they won as a home favorite?
Could you imagine if the streak begins with Jacksonville and ends with Jacksonville?
Did it begin with Jacksonville?
Yeah,
streak.
Yes, the yearly streak in 2017 started with Jacksonville. Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
This is Ron.
Ron.
Can you
Ron
believe?
Butler.
Ron Butler. Can you believe Limits at this point? He's lost his mind. There's not. Hey, let's put it this way. There's not a single team in the AFC that I would be shocked if the Steelers beat. Again, I'm not predicting it. I've maintained this through all the ups and downs and reevaluations. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game. But on a given week, if they played, you know, pick a team, Denver next week, would that shock me if they beat Bo Nix and company? No. Maybe that's just me. Mike?
100%.
Ron? Okay. Thank you, sir. Limits, I thought he was going to have more of a comment at the end.
Yeah, I did too. He just kind of paused and waited his turn.
Left me hanging there. By the way, Notre Dame can shut up. That's what I say to them. And I actually think they should be in the playoff. I think it's ludicrous that you have Tulane and James Madison in the college football playoff and not Notre Dame. Notre Dame is practically the team I saw come to Pitt. How many NFL guys are on that team? What have they won, 10 games in a row?
Yeah, Jeremiah Love's a Heisman candidate.
Come on. He might be the best player in all of college football. And they're not in, but Tulane and James Madison are? What are we doing here?
I love that Tulane and James Madison are in.
I want one underdog, not two. If you have 64 teams, great. You only got 12. Meanwhile, they should be in over Alabama. They didn't even look they didn't consider Alabama's horrible performance in their conference title game or the fact that they lost to Florida State, who stinks. Having said that, Notre Dame really has only itself to blame. And yet, you've got their commissioner, you've got not the commissioner, the AD out there complaining about the ACC and complaining how they've been unfairly criticized and all this crap with Notre Dame. Okay. Notre Dame has acted in its own best self-interests since I've known Notre Dame, and I grew up a Notre Dame fan, quasi fan. They had a running back named Eric Penick. You don't remember him, Limits, but he went 44 yards down the sidelines against USC one year. And I liked Notre Dame in their helmets. The ACC advocated for the ACC. Notre Dame's not in it in football, the last I checked. So the ACC advocated for one of its own in Miami. And if they happen to show Miami beating Notre Dame on a loop on the ACC network, too bad. If they sent out tweets comparing Notre Dame and Miami's resumes, too bad. The ACC advocated for its member school. And for Notre Dame to sit there and throw a fit over that is just pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. Plus, the ACC's given Notre Dame a home for all its non-revenue sports, last I checked. Am I right about that?
That was correct.
So what do they expect the ACC to do? Not advocate for Miami? The privilege that Notre Dame thinks it has. It collected the entire $20 million it had for its college football playoff run last year. Didn't have to share with anybody. Collected it all for itself. Doesn't think it has to play in a conference. So go home. Take your ball with you. We won't see you in a bowl game. Oh, well. Bye-bye, Notre Dame. Get out of here. You agree?
I 1,000% agree. It is soft. And it is ridiculous by Notre Dame to do this because they think they're high and mighty and they're just ultimately better than everybody with our independence and with our contract that we have with NBC. Notre Dame, you can't just have your cake and eat it too here in this situation.
It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing.
It's beneath Notre Dame to do this. And here's the thing. While I agree they should be in, it's still a borderline case and they made it a borderline case either or both, you could say, by idiotic scheduling, by having Miami and Texas A&M lead off your schedule, or simply by not performing in those games. Sorry, but those games count. It's 2 of 12. That's a lot of games in a 12-game season. 2 of them. And you lost, and you gave up 68 points. So, and one of them was at home. You gave up 40, I think it was. Was it a neutral site game or at home? They gave up 41 points to Texas A&M. So quit your crying. Start off your season with somebody else. Schedule smarter until you get things figured out and you start playing well later in the year. You didn't beat anybody. Whose fault is that? You lost to the two best teams on your schedule and, like I said, gave up 68 points in doing so. So get out of here. Please, leave.
If you think that's bad, their schedule next year is even more ridiculous.
Well, I mean, to their credit, I guess, they opened with Miami and Texas A&M.
Right. Good for them. They play Miami later on in the year, next year in November. But they play like Boston College, who's bad, Stanford, Syracuse, who won three games this year, Michigan State that fired their coach, Purdue, Bill Belichick in North Carolina, and they also play Rice. Their only difficult games are SMU, but that's on the road, USC at home, and they play against Wisconsin and Green Bay. They should be able to run over Wisconsin.
Plus, how many ACC schools do they play limits? They're supposed to play five, right?
They play North Carolina, yeah. Miami, Boston College, SMU, Stanford, and Syracuse, so six.
SMU won't be an easy game with the talent that they've been collecting
lately.
They're probably smart, you know? That sounds like, does it have it in order? Who are they opening with?
They're opening with Wisconsin, but I think there's supposed to be a game before that, the week before. They're playing in Green Bay against Wisconsin, and they go to Lambeau.
Get off to a better start. If you start out by losing two, you're practically done. You know? Now, to their credit, they ran the table after that against mostly weak competition, so I just don't want to hear their crying.
And for the people that say, oh, well, schedule more difficult things, the schedules are made so far in advance. Look at Alabama canceling.
What do you mean schedule more difficult things? They started out with Texas A&M and Miami.
I'm talking about for future seasons. But look at what Alabama did. They took West Virginia off the schedule. Sure, West Virginia's down, but to schedule FCS opponents.
I don't blame. If I'm in the SEC, I have built-in wins that can help, or built-in games that can help me if I win. I'm scheduling Point Park three times if I'm in the SEC. Nothing against Point Park. My wife went there. Tom McMillan went there.
Bob Pompeiani went there.
Uh-huh. Wonderful school. But I think you're crazy. You win. You need not to lose three, although now Alabama has, so I guess three and get in, right? Why are they in?
They have no reason to be in. A three-loss team should not be in when Vanderbilt and BYU even, I think, had worthier candidacies than Alabama in that situation. The way they played against Georgia pummeled them. They were non-competitive in that SEC championship game.
And they weren't very competitive even in their win against Auburn. That was an awful effort. They were petering out at the end, Alabama. But they get in. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday. And they didn't get in last year when they deserved.
They were a better team last year with three losses than they are this year.